This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know how it is. You already know. Man, you guys are showing so much love. I just want to show that love back. I'm going to be giving out a lot of gifts randomly. To shoot me over your addy, let me know. And I got some surprises for y'all coming up. I've been showing a lot of love, a lot of support, a lot of behind the scenes things going on. Don't worry, I got a lot of fun things coming up. But as you know, sports don't stop. I know the NFL is done. Rams, as you know, already won. We went into All-Star weekend in the NBA. Yeah, that was pretty boring, not going to lie. It was kind of hard to watch. The only thing I kind of enjoyed was the three-point contest. That was cool. Cat, you know, Carl Anthony Towns, for y'all don't know, one of the best shooting big men. I mean, he won a three-point contest. Never been done. I saw he was getting some tips from Steph Curry. I mean, who else to learn best from? But, you know, that was all him at the end of the day. He chose this rack accordingly. He did his thing. I would have liked to see Embiid do it as well, because Embiid is up there as well when it comes to big men knowing how to shoot the rock. The dunk contest, terrible. I mean, as you know, it's just been getting worse and worse. You know, we've had some, I guess, shimmering of like hope when it comes to some of these high flyers, you know, with Zach LaVine, Blake Griffin back in the day. But as you can see, I'm naming, like, that was years ago. I don't know. So I do have an idea, though. Whether it will actually happen, I don't know. I will definitely make sure that this episode reaches the people that can possibly, you know, affect change when it comes to this. Because I'm thinking for the three-point contest, right? I mean, sorry, for the slam dunk contest. Only for the slam dunk contest. Three-point, I have no problems with that. Anywho, I think it should be a one-on-one thing. Since a lot of these guys seem to be in-game dunkers, you know. I know other people had other ideas of having, you know, people from all over the nation or even all over the world that can really dunk. Because if you like the game of basketball, you know the best dunkers are probably not in the NBA. You know, because there's some real high flyers out there. They just never made it to the NBA because they probably didn't have, you know, too many other skill sets, or maybe they had other issues going on. Because, you know, to make it to the NBA, there's a lot of things that need to go your way. Branding is one of them. You know, you need to be out there. You have to be scouted, right? But anyway, yeah, I think it should be like a one-on-one thing. You know, everybody's real big on the posterizing, you know, getting dunked on. Make that a part of it. You know, I know guys are going to be scared to get dunked on, but that's the beauty of it. You give each guy a chance to dunk on each other. You know, it could be, you know, obviously maybe big man against big man. Maybe the smaller guards that can really dunk. Because I would love to see Ja Morant. But I think he's more of a competitive guy. I don't see him really just dunking just to be out there just, you know, with tricks and stuff. Some guys are just not about that. And I feel you. But I feel like if you can do that and incorporate little one-on-one, little more of that competitive edge and not just doing tricks and stuff. Even though, I'm not going to lie, I did like when Cole Anthony came out with the Timbs. I mean, if you're a New Yorker, you get it. You know, it's one of those things, if you know, you know. Timbs are heavy, man. Walking, running, let alone trying to dunk in Timbs. I'm not going to lie. Like, that had a little smile on my face when I saw him do that. But that was it. That was it. Everybody else was just, I like Obi Toppin, but as you can see, he's an in-game dunker. Maybe I want to see him dunk on somebody, you know, have that one-on-one competitive edge to see if you can really take him to the hole and just dunk it right in their face, that type of thing. And you can use your creativity however you want to use it, you know. Windmill on somebody, you know, turn around, give the reverse jam, whatever. That's just my idea. Whether guys will go for it, I don't know, but it is an opportunity for guys to make a name for themselves, because all this, I don't want to get hurt in this and that. And I get it. Then don't do it. Don't do it. Some guys are just taking the opportunity just to be part of All-Star Weekend. And let's face it, you guys could afford tickets to go to the game anyway. You guys can show up to all the events and different things that they have. So you still can do that. Just don't accept the invitation if you're not going to go out there and really ball out. It's disrespecting the game. And nobody wants to watch it. After a while, you're going to bring the viewership down so bad. Like, nobody's even going to be paying y'all to be over there. I mean, it was in Cleveland at that, you know. But the All-Star game, it starts off the way it normally does. Guys not playing defense. The competitive edge is not really there. Fine. Let's be real. They were probably out the night before. You can tell. Some of those shots, not customary. Not something that we're really used to seeing from some of these guys. So, you know, you kind of just let that slide and just say, okay, all right, wait till halftime's over. Because, you know, halftime is always the big celebration, the big thing. DJ Khaled did his thing. He brought out a lot of star power. I think during these celebrations, you know, during halftime, whether it was the Super Bowl or All-Star Weekend, I think they're doing some great things. They definitely make you want to sit in your seat for the entire thing. So you have to plan your drinks accordingly because you actually want to sit there and actually watch a lot of these things. And obviously, when it comes to slam dunk contests, that's probably when you're going to get up, you know, or maybe just turn to something else, whatever, background noise, what have you. But anyway, doing some good things. I like the music selection. I like the celebrities and everything like that. But, you know, just add that little bit of competitive edge to it. I'm telling you, the slam dunk contest, add that one-on-one component. I'm telling you, good things are going to happen. But, you know, that's already passed. NBA is in full swing. We just saw James Harden the other night. I mean, last night, actually, did his thing. Joel Embiid is like, I can't believe this is my life. Like, that's so awesome to hear him say that because he's having the season of his life right now. You know, these are things that we've already known that Embiid can do. It was just a matter of, is he going to stay healthy long enough for us to see it for a whole season? You know, we're never able to see this for a whole span. So I'm loving it. I'm glad James Harden is there to take the edge off, to make him feel like he doesn't have to work so hard for every shot. Can't imagine to see what that's like. I mean, especially a guy who's injury prone. That's not a guy you want to have to work so hard, and you wonder why he can't stay on the floor. He doesn't have that help, you know. And then also opens it up for Tobias Harris. I like the playmaking ability. Everybody talks about Harden's scoring ability, which is great. It is phenomenal. But the best part I feel about Harden's game is his playmaking ability. I don't think we didn't even really see that much with the Rockets, obviously, because there was nobody really for him to really pass to like that. You know, so he was forced to kind of put up all those points in order for them to be competitive at all. So I totally get it. But the minute he went over to the Nets, I wasn't just looking at his scoring ability, you know, because his numbers obviously were down. I was looking at his assists. I'm like, over 10 a game? You know, I'm like, whoa. Okay. Then, of course, all the drama, you know, everything that surrounded Brooklyn. KD wanted to play all the minutes. Got injured. Okay. Kyrie, you know, already know what's going on with that. We may see him back out there, depending on what's going on with the mayor and the mandates and all that. But Harden here with Philly, man, I really think he did find a home. Somewhere where he's really not asked to do much. He doesn't really have to worry about being double teamed or different. He doesn't really have to, worry about different defenses that's coming at him a particular way. Mainly because you got Embiid over there. You know, arguably the best big man in the game. You know, Nicolo. That's why I say arguably, because some people will say, you know, there's that cat over there in Denver. You know, he was the MVP, you know. Yeah, true. So, it's going to be interesting to watch. Miami. Yep, they beat up on my Knicks pretty bad. That kind of sucked. But it's okay. It's okay. You know why? Because I'm lying. It's not okay. It's it's just bad. It's bad to be a Knicks fan. You feel really good about where RJ Barrett is at. I mean, what is 49 something points? He had 30 points in the first half. I love that. But if you had seen RJ Barrett, his game in Duke, and just seeing how it would translate, like, I mean, he was the one that you were like, he looks the most NBA ready. You know, I know once they get to their respective teams and, you know, build chemistry and understand what their culture is trying to do and try to mix in whatever that they're trying to add to the table. You know, like, that's all part of it, you know, because you never really know what you're going to get, you know, until you actually watch them play. But RJ Barrett, just the way he carries himself, maturity level. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what he's been able to do so far. He's been around a lot. But I think that also speaks to the character of the veteran guys in this locker room, like Kemba Walker, right? So a lot of people, including myself, are very disappointed that the Kemba situation didn't work out. You know, New York native, you know, he went to Connecticut. It's kind of like, you know, he's back home. We all wanted to see him put up big numbers, and he did, you know, in spurts, little sprinkles here and there, you know. You could see his little highlights, but it just wasn't the consistency we were expecting to see. We just thought we were getting a superstar. This guy is going to ball out. New York basketball is going to be back. But when you look at it, I mean, I'm not big on stats, and it doesn't mean I don't look at the stats. It just means I'm not big on it, because you can technically make an argument for any stat that you look at in either direction, however you want it. And I don't like that. I'm more about the eye test, you know, because I feel like a lot of people get away with not watching the games and just looking at the box score and saying, oh, you know, I know all about this because I read. Okay. You still got to watch the games. You still have to be able to see. You can see the difference, how guys are gelling together, body language. Yeah, you want to look at the stats. But in Kemba Walker's case, I felt like you needed the stats, because when you watched him play, you always felt like something was missing, or there's a reason why he's not making the impact you thought he would, and that's when you go to the numbers. The numbers that I personally like, the plus or minus, that's my favorite category. If you've been listening to me, you already know. As well as where your team is defensively first, and then offensively when that particular player is on the floor. So offensively, we're about ninth in the league when Kemba Walker is not playing. So he was that offensive star power that we thought we were getting for the Knicks, right? Everybody was all hype. But when he is not playing, we are ninth in the league, okay? And when he is playing, we are 27th. 27th in the league offensively. How can you compete? How are we going to get back to the playoffs like that? If we can even talk about the playoffs at this point in the game. It's ridiculous. It's like the Lakers talking about the playoffs right now, you know? Who are we kidding? And then, defensively, the defensive side of the ball, you have Tibbs, right? When Kemba's on the floor, we're dead last defensively. Dead last when Kemba's on the floor. Then when he's not on the floor, we're one of the best defensive teams in the league. One of the best. I don't have the exact number for you, but we're top five. So that's saying a lot. That's a big difference. So it just makes sense. Kemba's still going through what he's going through injury-wise, kind of like a lot of stars are in the league. And it's just best to shut it down. It just makes no sense to keep going the way things are, especially when you see those numbers. It's not a slight difference where you can say, maybe there's other things that play into it. No, that's a big enough difference to say, no, this is what's going on. We have to listen to the numbers at this point. And just develop the younger guys. Get Cam Reddish back into the fold, you know. That's one player that needs to get, you know, acclimated to the team. Evan Fournier, I don't even know where he's been. He's been playing. Well, he has the minutes, like he's been out there. It's definitely not what we thought he was gonna be. Again, we see glimpses of these things, right? We see little glimpses of hope, like, okay, this is the player we acquired. This is why we acquired him. But on a consistent basis, we're just not seeing it. The only player I see that's consistently improving is RJ Barrett. And at this point, you got to feel sorry for him because his numbers, he's gonna be doing great things. But at some point, great players like that, or who are on the way to being great, they want to win. So there's going to come a point where there's going to be some decisions made, you know, and it's probably not going to work out in the Knicks' favor unless they do something. Because the way this team is presently constructed, it's not built for playoffs, it's not built for winning basketball, period, because we were supposed to be on our way to get past the first round of the playoffs. I mean, we made it to the playoffs. Okay, cool, we're back. We thought we was going to get past the first round. Trae Young had other plans. Okay, cool, no problem. Randle needed to learn to trust his teammates. They acquired some teammates we thought he would be able to trust more. That didn't happen. Randle's also taking a step back this year. It's just a lot of different things going on. But what I meant to say before about Kemba Walker, you have to commend him, because young guys like RJ Barrett, who's only 21, who had a great offensive night, efficient offensive night, I should say, having veteran guys like that in the locker room that handle themselves like a professional matters to those young guys. They look up to those guys, how to handle certain situations when they are frustrated, right? When they are losing, when things aren't going their way, or when the ball's just not going your way, not bouncing your way. I mean, that's just life, right? But maybe there's certain things you can't control, but what you can control is how you conduct yourself, right? How you conduct yourself as a professional. Kemba, I'm sure he's not done, and there's other things that he wants to do and pursue. That's what guys need to be mindful of. If you still want to be a part of something, part of a team, you have to carry yourself in such a way where people will say, you know, this guy isn't what he once was, but the way he handles himself as a vet, as a professional, we want our young guys to see that. So while we're developing our young guys, we don't mind giving you, you know, X amount of, you know, giving whatever contract. And you can learn that from Udonis Haslem, right? In his case in Miami. You could have made the argument that this guy could have been off the payroll a long time ago. But you know what keeps him there? What keeps him having a job? Which gives his future, you know, a brighter outlook? It's the way he conducts his business. Right? A lot of these young guys, they have a lot going on. They're not always going to know how to react to certain situations, especially in some of the environments that they grew up in. Maybe they're just used to, you know, handling things the wrong way because that's just the examples they were given. But when you have a vet in the locker room that's giving good advice, and not just giving good advice, showing them good examples to lead by, you know, just sort of talking that talk, that stuff matters. So shout outs to Kemba Walker. Even though things are not working out however we all thought they were going to work out, you're still handling it like a man, handling it like a professional. What a great example for our youth to see. I love stuff like that. But we're not going to go around about the Knicks all day. It's not a Knicks podcast. I thought about doing a Knicks podcast, but, you know, I'm trying to have a podcast that where I don't curse. So I don't think that would be possible. So I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to broaden it out where I can mention the Knicks here and there, but I don't have to have the stress of talking about it for about 30 minutes to an hour. We're not going to do that. A lot of teams that are surprising me that are doing great things. You have the Celtics finding a way, right? That's big. Jaylen Brown has ascended himself. I don't know why people are not talking about him as much as they should be. I get it. He's probably just being overshadowed by Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum, as you know, is on a whole nother level, especially posterizing people the other day. What was he? He posterized Andre Drummond. Like, man, just manhandled the Nets. I know Kyrie was saying, you know, once he gets back, KD gets back, Ben Simmons, we're all waiting for that. We're all waiting to see exactly how that's all going to gel together, to see how they're going to come together and really try to put something together that's special. I think Brooklyn deserves that. I mean, I do feel bad. Even though Brooklyn was talking a lot of mess when Kyrie and Kevin Durant decided to go to the Brooklyn Nets, and as Knicks fans, we were hopeful and we're just, that's just that, just hopeful that they were going to come on over to the, that they were going to go to New York, that they would come to the Knicks, the Garden, the Mecca, you know, bring, you know, a championship back. We haven't seen it in my lifetime. You know, those who are, I believe, 50 and up, you guys have seen it in your lifetime. Oh, man, it's stressful. I said I wasn't going to talk about the Knicks, right? All right, I'll leave that alone. But yeah, so, but I do feel bad because this is definitely not shaping out to how you guys thought it was going to be for these last couple years, whether it was due to injury or just due to whatever. I mean, the fact that these guys haven't really played together and it didn't work out with James Harden. Okay, so now you guys have Ben Simmons. I know a lot of people are making jokes, you know, even I said some things, you know, just because, not really, just because I just didn't understand it. And sometimes when we don't understand things, we either make jokes about it, right, or we say things, you know, until we're able to get some context, or we still don't really have all the information, you know, we're kind of just on a wait and see. We're just going to, only time will tell, right? That first time he's put in a position where he's going to shoot, where guys are probably going to lay off him defensively, you know, to see, to give him that extra room to see if he actually is going to shoot. Only time will tell, you know. But I do want to see him get back because he is a phenomenal basketball player, whether he shoots or not. Let's face it. He still was an all-star. He still was a great player. It's just hopefully when he, you know, adds that to his game, because nowadays that's why you have the stretch four position. When you have guys in center positions, power forward positions, shooting the three, and Ben Simmons won't shoot beyond 5 feet of the basket, you know, that's a problem. It's a problem. Just because defensively, I already know how to guard you. You know? So, we'll see. Maybe Kyrie Irving is trying to speak things into existence by saying, yo, everybody's talking a lot of mess about us, but watch, once we all get back together, we're going to be good. Okay, we thought that was going to happen with James Harden. So all we can do is just sit back and just see. I mean, but Brooklyn fans, I really do feel bad, especially for you guys who probably brought season tickets, thinking that you were going to be watching Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden. Sorry, you know, that's all you can say, because, man, and the Lakers, I didn't forget about y'all fans too, I didn't forget. It's a shame, but it's like I've said, there are reasons why players are players, GMs are GMs, the presidents are the presidents, and the owners are the owners. Well, owners, that's a whole nother situation. But you get where I'm going. Everybody has a role and a position to play on the team or within the organization. Everybody. Sure, you want their input. I've said this before. But at the end of the day, if you're going to be a part of assembling a team, you have to take the responsibility when it doesn't work out. Because trust me, at some point, Rob Pelinka is going to be taking the responsibility for this. You know, Jeannie Buss still talks to Magic. There's a reason why Magic left. I'm sure we were all kind of like, why did Magic leave? We know they were talking mess about him. They were saying he was lazy and all this stuff. And he wasn't really into the job, or he had outside influences, you know, conflict of interest, talking to other players. Because, you know, Magic, he loves the game. So if some guy from another team asks him some advice, you know, he's gonna freely give his advice just because he cares. So he realized that, okay, if I can't do that, then I'm not going to do this anymore. Because Lord knows Magic is good. He doesn't need that job. The Lakers definitely lost out on that relationship. And looking at how things are right now, it's like, man, I see why Magic left. This is too much. You guys are not winning. Half the time, you don't even know what's going on out there. LeBron looks like the LeBron in Cleveland with no help, right? This is exactly what he did not want. And I'm sure this is why he felt the need to have more of his influence in who's going to be on his team, so he wouldn't have to end up in that position. And then, oddly enough, or ironic enough, he's in this situation again. Even with all the input that he had. When he had the opportunity to get DeMar DeRozan, right? Buddy Hield. You had those opportunities. They were there, whether through trade, Pelinka didn't want to do it, you know, but I guess that's the problem, because I guess Rob probably wanted to do things prior to the Westbrook trade or prior to other trades that were made. You know, LeBron and whomever else were involved, AD, whoever, were involved in that decision making. And now you want to have things your way. It just doesn't work like that. I guess he sort of took over control, and that's why things look as toxic as they do, because it just doesn't make any sense. We knew AD was injury prone. So if you have a big man that you're pretty much centering your whole team around, it just would make sense to me to build around him with younger, talented guys. Older, past their prime, but still, you know, talented guys. Like, that's longevity speaking. Like, that, I don't know. I just don't understand that move. And the only way I can logic my way into that move is that they all have business interests outside of basketball, particularly to do with production, things of that nature. You know, whatever it is, building their brand, bringing attention to a lot of things that have to do with, like, outside of basketball, which is great. Actually, when you look at a lot of things that some of these guys have done, Westbrook included, bringing attention and just, you know, just doing things for the culture, it's much appreciated. But at the same time, don't kid yourself here. Like, this was not a winning recipe. Like, nobody likes for the media to be right sometimes, and I get it, but they were right on the money when they said you guys assembled the oldest roster with these guys past their prime expecting to pull off miracles. 82 games is a long season. It's a long season, especially when you're 37 years old, 36 years old, already have a lot of miles, already been in the league 19 years, like, that's a lot. And then you add on USA basketball on top of it. Like, that's a lot of miles. You know, Carmelo Anthony's been out. They missed that. You know, I don't know. At this point, I just think the Lakers should just shut it down. I don't see them going to the playoffs. And if they do, they're not going to win the in-game tournament. It's just going to be a bad look. And all that's going to happen is LeBron's going to be injured. And then it's just going to cause more problems going into the next season. They should just shut it down. Shut it down. Keep building guys like Malik Monk, He's going to be a star. Watch and see. He's going to be a star. I mean, it just showed you even last night when they were playing against the Clippers, you know. Keep in mind, Paul George, not playing. Kawhi Leonard, not playing. And this is an interesting stat, too. So Lou, the coach of the Clippers, has never lost to LeBron, which is interesting. Because I know a lot of people seem to give LeBron more credit for winning in Cleveland when Tyronn Lue was coach. And I'm like, Lou's a good coach. A lot of people are sleeping on him. And I don't see why. And then if you look at the development of Terrence Mann, this guy's going to be a star. Watch. Just as long as he keeps playing the way he's been playing, man, give these dudes credit. Not to say, I mean, I think we all have learned about LeBron and his greatness and his continued greatness, I should say. But at the same time, don't take away from someone else's greatness. You know? I don't know. What do I know? But yeah, so that's just my opinion. Lakers should just shut it down. It's a no-go right now. I know they're probably going to give it one last surge, you know, see if they can try to get there. But right now you're asking for LeBron to do too much. He was scoring like 25. What was he averaging? Like 25 for the last couple months or so. And I think it ended last night with him only scoring 21. You know, I mean, eventually he was going to run out of gas. And he had like 6 turnovers. You know, the plus or minus category had him like -6, you know. It's just bad. And then you can't blame him, because what else is he going to do? Who else does he have? You know, and I haven't really seen any player development outside of Malik Monk, which kind of reminds me of Caldwell Pope. You know, and he'll probably be looking to go to another team, or who knows? Who knows what the Lakers are going to look like? Because right now, when LeBron answers questions, like pretty much straightforward, he's mainly talking about the future, you know, with his son. And he plans on going wherever his son goes, which is great. You know, that's cool. That's going to be great, especially for whoever gets his son, you know, because then you got LeBron and his son. That's going to be crazy. But it's just weird right now when you look at things. But NBA season, everybody's sleeping on the Bucks. Definitely the 76ers, Miami. There's a reason why they are the way they are. And the Suns, I'm going to actually make my predictions real early this year, so that way nobody can say, oh, you saw. No. I'm going to make my predictions really early. But I am going to wait to see, you know, if New York lifts their mandate. I need to wait and see who's healthy, who's not. I need to see a couple things first play out. But I think we're going to have another new champion. When I mean another, I mean not who you thought. Maybe Chris Paul might finally get his ring. Who knows? But we have a lot more basketball coming up. I'm excited. I can't wait. Because Ja Morant is taking this. Ooh. I mean, Memphis has been waiting. They've been lying and waiting. And I don't think people are still taking them seriously just yet, because I don't think anybody's picking them. But I wouldn't mind seeing that in the Western Conference Finals. The Suns, Memphis. That might be a good look right there. You know, 76ers, Bucks. I don't know. We'll see. There's a lot of teams making a lot of runs. There's a lot more basketball left. Still a little bit too early to predict anything, but we'll see. And guys, another thing that we need to discuss real quick before we get up out of here is the Pelicans, right? They newly acquired CJ McCollum. He's doing his thing. Surprise, surprise, right? One of the top guards in the NBA. You know, putting up numbers. Doesn't really matter where he plays. Definitely not a good look for Portland, even though I like this kid Simons, though. I like this kid. He looks like he's doing some big things. He's doing it all by himself. Hopefully when Lillard gets back, they can build back up that backcourt. You know, have that connection going on. But yeah, I do feel bad for Dame. You know, he was talking about how it's an end of an era, and it sure is. And it's too bad they couldn't really do nothing with it, right? They kind of just got stuck. You know, they reached their ceiling, unfortunately. And they had to do a lot of different things. Obviously, injuries and, you know. West is hard, too. Let's face it. West has always been difficult. West is just difficult. You know, and it's just like one or two moves, you know, and teams that weren't necessarily a problem, and they became a problem. Like the Suns, right? They weren't a problem. And then they became a problem, you know. So, Memphis, too. So, with all these teams coming up, you know. But one thing I wanted to say about the whole Zion situation, it's unfortunate. But I did say, you know, if you guys have been listening to me, I've been telling you, you know, playing with that frame, Zion, as much as weight he was carrying, running up and down the court, playing as physical as he was, you know, dunking and all that. And we loved it, you know, for a guy, it's only like, I think he was only like 6'9", but he was like 300 pounds plus, you know. It's too much. It's just too much on them joints. And it's like, say it ain't so. Some things you really don't want to be right about. You know, I like the kid, and all I wanted to say is it's unfortunate that everybody's really come down on this kid a lot. And I pretty much say all that to say this. Remember, people thought he was lying when he said when he was at Duke that he loved it so much, and he was still growing as a man, growing as a person, right? Still learning the ins and outs of the game, and just wanting to just play the game just for the love of it, because he knew once he got to the NBA it was no longer going to be just a game. It's now business. You know, it's a totally different ball game, literally. And I believe him now. You know, before I was kind of like, but then I was kind of thinking, I don't think I've ever heard a superstar, especially someone that was drafted number one overall pick, you know. The hype coming into it, him wearing the white suit, just like LeBron. I was like, I don't know, but I see it now. You can tell he did not want to go to the league as fast as he did. He eventually did, sure. But I think he still wanted to grow, still wanted to mature, understand certain things. Maybe get his diet right. You know, this just, because remember, the NBA season is long. College is very short. It's a big jump, big leap, you know. And you're not playing as often. So, a week. You know, back-to-backs. No joke. You know, just taking all that into consideration. Now that he has to rehab and get his body back. And, you know, he had the foot fracture. And it's tough. Like, mentally, it's weighing on him, I feel. You know, some people just think about the money. But at the same time, it's like, but are you ready for it? But it just also goes to show you what a lot of these young men go through, or just, you know, young people in general, when they are given, you know, they have this gift, right? It wasn't necessarily given to them, right? They had to work really hard for it, you know, in order to get to where they are. And of course it takes a certain amount of talent, but you have to nurture that talent. You still have to, you know, work on it, work on your craft to get better. And mentally, he definitely felt like he wasn't ready. And now you're just looking at everything, the way everything's unfolding and the pressure, and how, you know, how you have ex-teammates like J.J. Redick on ESPN saying, you know, he's pretty much not acting decent towards C.J. McCollum because he came over and he didn't shoot him over a text. And, you know, to say, hey, welcome to the team. Zion got his own problems right now. He doesn't even feel connected with the team. He doesn't even know if he's going to be on the team. So I think everybody's asking a little bit too much of Zion at the moment. When I don't really hear anybody talking about Zion, just what they can do for him, how they can help him in a sense. You know, he's definitely struggling, for sure. So I hope he does have the right team around him, you know, to get his mind straight. So that way, once he does get his body straight, he's good to go. Because as you know, if you've ever been through like a rehabbing process, you know, trying to get your body right, mentally it can take a toll on you. You know, that's why I love Tim Grover's book, you know, Relentless. And I believe he has another book out that's called Winning. He talks about those things. How your mind can definitely mess with you, even though your body's okay. So it's just something to think about. Yeah, so I just wish Zion nothing but the best. And also, Zion, come to New York. It's your girl, K-Dot. I'm out. Peace.
This is The Ripple Effect with your girl, K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.